Blog Talk Radio.
And will I wonder why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. Michael and I will share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael, or myself, or forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, your co-hosts, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. We're honored and delighted that you're here with us today. I think Dr. Tim is turning on the switchboard, but I haven't heard his voice yet. And I hope you
can hear me. I am here.
Yes, oh, hey, there's Ben. I'll leave the opening to you then.
Well, this is a beautiful Monday, the day after Easter, April 17th, 2017. And we're here to share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. And the website is www.whyagain.org. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And if you press 1 when you call that number, it'll let us know that you have a question or a comment for Michael. And Michael and Jeannie are driving, so I'm doing the switchboard for Jeannie, and Michael is here to host. Take it away, Michael.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for being available on such short notice. We'll ask everybody today, if you would, to hold the space for Michelle. She was going to be doing the switchboard and end up in a major healing process, so besides, she better be taking care of herself rather than switchboard right now. And thank you, Tim, for being available on just a few minutes' notice. And we are driving. We're actually on our third day of travel heading toward Missouri. We just crossed over the Tennessee-Arkansas line. I'll never figure out why they called Arkansas when it's Arkansas, but hey, who knows? And we're driving in the driving rain. It's just pouring rain down here, 67 degrees. Pretty day, but a little wet. And we're rolling up I-55, heading into Theodosia. We'll get there probably around sometime between 5 and 6 o'clock today. We'll get unpacked and have a day or two there, and then head out off to St. Louis. So had a wonderful series of events in North Carolina. It was nice to be on the beach, and looking forward to getting back to Missouri and getting rocking along. This morning on the, actually last night, there's a group that did Laws of Living at Heartland this summer, and they've been continuing with an ongoing support group. And so I got to be part of their call last night. And then the support group this morning that's still meeting from this summer, working with each other and creating support. And one of the questions that came up was, why would I spend all kinds of time searching for and pulling up things that I've spent my whole life trying to avoid? Like, isn't that a silly thing to do? Well, if you could hide things from yourself and not have them have any impact on you, you're right. Hide that puppy, don't ever look at it, and carry on. However, if we go back to the ancient Aramaic, where they had an understanding of how the perceptual mind works and how interference patterns are created, we find that they have a little four-letter suffix that changes everything. And this four-letter suffix is OOTA, OOTA. And basically what that suffix means that is that if I add that suffix to a word, then whatever that word represents is something that's going on in my unconscious. And that something going on in my unconscious acts as a bias. And biases change things, either with or without awareness. And if it's coming from the unconscious, then the changes happen without awareness. Now here's the problem. Perception, remember, is the output of the mind. We have been taught a fallacy by our culture that we have a set of windows that we look out through, and by looking out through those windows, we see what's going on out there. The truth is, the eye is a one-way valve that lets information in and nothing goes out. You don't see out through your eyes. Information comes in through your eyes. Information causes brain cells to fire. Brain cells create perception. Perception has a quality. If the quality of your perception is poor, then the quality of your decisions and behaviors are going to be poor. If the quality of your perception is accurate and on track, then you're going to have a huge upgrade in your perceptions, decisions, and behaviors. So in essence, what the Aramaic is saying is that when that uta suffix is added to a word, it's saying that instead of getting an accurate, we're going to do the long form of that idea. Instead of getting an accurate picture where your mind accurately represents what's happening outside of you with its construct called perception, something that's hidden creates a bias or a change in the flow of energy and information to your mind, to your awareness. And so the things that are impacted by those uta brain cells are, one, your perception. In other words, let's imagine we've got a whole scenario happening out there in the world, and let's imagine that it's a very threatening scenario. In the case where there's a threatening scenario, you want to have your perceptual system, your perceptual construct, accurately represent what's happening so that you have the best information possible to guide your behavior. But if, let's say, for instance, you know, one of the things we've repeated often is a thought from the Course that says, beware of the distorting power the way you want it to be. So let's say I'm in a situation where, cancel the thought, there's an attack about to take place, and I have a goal for this person, a really strong goal, and I'm not going to let it go for this person and just be the greatest person in the world. Now, if there's nothing in me that goes against that, I'm probably going to pull that out of that person. But if there's a part of me that's in conflict with that, then chances are that I'm going to shift the accuracy of my perception and be looking for someone who's perfect that maybe isn't so perfect. And so I'm not getting all the information that I need to make my best decisions or choices. So I want to make sure that if there's something hidden in my mind that's impacting my perception at different junctures in my life, that I want to have a way to clean that up. Elsewise, at the most important times, when it's really urgent for me to have the best perceptual construct possible, it's going to be off base. It's not going to show me the highest and best that it could be showing me, and I'm going to end up having difficulty. And because it's coming from a hidden part of the mind or the unconscious, I won't know that my own unconscious is interfering with the process of my perception. So that's one reason that you want to be searching for all the things you've ever hidden from yourself and cleaning them up. The other is that you have an energetic body. You have a body that's made of energy. And relative to your energetic body, there are basically two qualities of energy. There's that which builds it up and that which tears it down. Wherever there is tear down energy in the system or disintegrative energy in a cell, that cell is in the process of degrading, falling apart, and dying. So if I'm hiding disintegrative energies from myself, wherever I'm storing them in my structure and refusing to access them, I'm literally creating disease processes. I want to access those dis-ease energies before they become a crisis in my life and threaten my life. So that would be the reason that, yes, if you've spent your whole life learning to hide this from yourself, it's going to take you a little time and there's going to be a process involved in reversing the hiding, in accessing what you've been hiding and processing through it. Now, if it's been going on for a long time, in many cases, if there's something that we don't want to deal with and we've been hiding from ourselves, if we went back and talked to mom and dad, either one or both of them probably were hiding the same things from themselves. And perhaps grandparents and grandparents before them. And so if there's a generational pattern of hiding a certain dynamic, then it's going to take some very committed, significant work to work through those things, to access every aspect of what doesn't belong in the system that's creating distortions in the system, and getting back to where we've developed that one of the five smooth stones we talked about called true perception. So the average person goes around with what we call perception. And that means that an event happens in their world, the event triggers brain cells build a picture, accurate or inaccurate, highly, highly useful or very, very disastrous. And that's their perception. That's their perceptual construct. It comes from carbon-based memory. It comes from the past. The person who lives in that world ends up bumping into a lot of problems. The alternative is that when I clean up the things that distort my perception, then my perceptual system will allow the higher level of being to guide the constructs that show up in my mind. And so I'll have true or accurate perception in every case. And, you know, whether we're in a situation with the good, the bad, or the ugly really doesn't matter. You want to have the most accurate perception possible. Remember that perception, the world you see, is a construct of your mind. If you want to watch a video where we've laid that that thesis out, you can go to our website, whyagain.org, whyagain.org. And over on the right-hand side, you'll see a series of social media links. The bottom one is our YouTube channel. If you click on that link, it'll take you to YouTube. And then go down the list. I don't know, there are probably 100 or more videos there. Go down the list and look for the one that starts out with the letters ACIM, what is the world? And when you click on that video, it will lay out this whole methodology by which the perceptual world is created and how to bring correction to it if it's off base. One of the things we quote in that particular lesson is from the CIA handbook and study on perception, where the CIA is in 100% agreement with us after having spent who knows how many millions of dollars researching and studying perception, when they say the mind does not record reality, the mind generates reality. So your mind, my mind, everyone's mind, that's why, you know, you can talk to six different people that were at an accident, cancel the thought, and you'll have six different descriptions, six different, you'd swear there were six different accidents. Why isn't everybody saying the same thing? Because nobody's ever looking at the same world as anybody else. Each person is always looking at a perceptual construct within their minds that shows them what is useful for their present moment purposes. Which takes us to another really important point, and that is to upgrade to your truest and highest purpose. Because if you do not hold a high, true purpose, then whatever your mind holds as a purpose for the moment will tend to guide and create railings, so to speak, that will throw your perception off track. As an example, let's imagine we've got somebody who lives in a world where, you know, they've always been picked on and beaten up on, and found that their only way to save themselves from that is to blame somebody. So if somebody lives in a world of, well, you know, the purpose of my life is to make sure that I'm safe by making sure somebody else is to blame, then they will create constructs where they'll always find somebody else to blame for what's going on in their lives, and never realizing that they themselves are creators and have given up their creatorship in order to play the game as though somebody else is to blame. So when you start clarifying your purpose and your perception, that leads to living in a whole different world. And that whole different world we call a world of personal power. And the best definition I've been able to come up with over the years for personal power is that personal power is the ability to be continuously aware of and function out of your highest guidance. And so we're here to support you in being very, very empowered in the truth of who you are and in touch with 24/7, 365, the highest thoughts your mind has to offer you. So that's what we're here to do. Dr. Tim, any thoughts in that regard?
Only that it's probably the biggest, you know, stopgap point people questioning me when I present this work is, but wait a minute, what if there's really somebody charging at me, really trying to molest me, really trying to steal my wallet, really trying to punch me in the face? And to get people to understand that that's the most important time for me to have clarity of perception. That's the most important time for me to dismantle hostility toward the other person and fear toward them, so I can see more accurately and then respond more appropriately. And that's one of the trickier things in this work for me, is to get people past that first step of realizing they aren't really seeing what's going on outside of them. They're only seeing pictures their own mind is creating. That's my only input, just reinforcement. And we do have a hand up.
Great, let's say who our caller.
Area code 541, you're in the air.
Hi, this is Julie from Ashland, Oregon.
Hey, Glenn, we haven't heard your voice for a while. Welcome.
I know. Well, thank you very much. I hear yours and Dr. Tim's quite often, though. I'm a regular listener. Thank you so much. Fills my day with good directions. But I have a question, and I've had this before, and I'm glad you brought up about the CIA saying that the mind does not record reality, it generates reality. Did I quote that correctly?
Correct. Yes, that's it.
Okay. Okay, so what came to mind is that, you know, from the work we do with you and Yeshua's work, is that we find out that there are things that have been stored in our mind and are what we're generating realities from. And, you know, we want to remove them. But, you know, it seems like there is something recorded in our minds. And that's actually an aspect of denial. Like, okay, if we're denying something, where is it? So, you know, we tend to recreate or replicate realities from past stored information, whether it's good or bad. So if all that's true, then they're leaving out, the CIA is censoring or leaving out the truth that we seem to be aware of, is that there are recorded energies and realities that we generate from. So it's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Did we actually generate all those realities and energies in our mind originally? Or did we pick some things up from childhood that ended up being recorded? was that our maybe mind setting of a goal where we're just storing something rather than recording. So what's the difference? Do you hear all those questions?
I got it. Yep,
Thank you.
Thanks. So here's my input. You are not a physical being. You are an energetic being. And as such, as an energy system, your system is continuously recording and storing every energetic impression that comes to you as an electrical impulse stored through the cellular structure of the body. So all the everything, like if we put you into a state of hypnosis and took you back to the moment of your birth and said who was in the room, you would tell us everybody that was in the room. If we asked you to tell us what mother's hairdo was, you'd be able to tell us what mother's hairdo was. All of that information is accurately recorded. However, when the things that drive perception cause the information that's been recorded to be represented in an incorrect way, then our perception generated out of that recorded information is off base. And there's where the idea of a bias comes in. So if I have a bias, let's say somebody comes in of the opposite gender, and I know that, you know, people of the opposite gender just can never be trusted. You know, you just can't ever trust those people. So I may have been through 1,000 wonderful experiences with people of the opposite gender, but there was one experience that happened where I couldn't trust them. And because there was a great deal of energy and amplitude of energy around that experience, that becomes the bias. And so somebody of the opposite gender comes into the room, my perceptual system kicks in, and with that bias, it's, you know, this person coming into the room may be there to nurture me and take care of me and be there for me, and everything would be awesome, except my bias kicks in and says, uh-oh, opposite gender, danger, danger, get ready to attack, puke on them at a moment's notice. And now all of my perceptual system's totally distorted, and here I am with somebody who's there to support me puking on them. Does that make sense to your questions?
Yeah, I was on mute, sorry. Yes, but then, so it's a replicate generation of something from before.
Well, when there's something stored in the mind and it represents itself, it's obviously replicating, which means out of that function, you cannot get a true present moment experience. And that's where when you live out of being and Rachma is open, that filter is open in the frontal lobes of the brain, then instead of coming from carbon-based memory and replicate data stored in the replicate mind from the past, you have a space that's open for the creator's mind to write in your awareness, for the creator's mind to guide you, and for accurate information to come in, for your intuition to be functioning and to pick up energetic dynamics that otherwise would be totally suppressed if you were in the fear of that bias of, uh-oh, somebody from the opposite sex is always out to get me.
Okay. So when the CIA did their report, did they take that into account that when they're saying the mind does not record, they're talking about it's not recording actuality?
Correct. Yeah, they
okay.
would use, they would use, well, not quite, no. They would say the mind does not record. To make it accurate in the language you're using, I would say we could quote that as the mind does not record what's actually happening. It generates a reality of its own. And they just use
okay.
the word reality.
Okay.
So what we're
offering
is, we live in a world of actuality. There are energetic things going on all the time. And then, according to our purpose, let's imagine, you know, let's say I'm standing in the front of the room doing a class, and I look over on my lectern, and there's a fly on the lectern. Now, a fly has compound eyes that point in 100 different directions simultaneously. if you're familiar with the compound eye of a fly.
Yeah,
now,
yeah,
I guarantee that that little fly's mind doesn't show it a picture of Julie sitting over there in the chair with her notebook in hand asking a question. What that fly's mind for its purposes shows is, I'm looking for food. My eyes tuned to infrared energy. Ah, I see infrared. That means a warm body. That means there's blood for me to eat. I'm heading for dinner. Little different reality than I have standing in the front of the room. Each creature, according to the purposes it has for something I would offer, its mind is designed to show it how to get what it wants. If our wants come from hostility and fear, if our past is filled with hostility and fear, then that totally distorts our wants, our needs, and the directions that show us how to get those needs met. As you collapse the perceptual constructs based in hostility or fear, you have better and better and better chances of accurately having information, pardon me, having accurate information about what's happening in the actuality shown to you, and therefore doing behaviors that are going to serve you best for the purposes you have at this moment. So that's the reason for cleaning up the perceptual system, so that it gives you the highest and best.
Okay. All right. Well, I was just concerned. I was concerned that the CIA didn't really go into its definition of recording. You know, what it records, you know, that it's saying that isn't being recorded. Because it seems like on some level of our mind, there are many levels, you know, and so on some level, energetically, things are registering. And we can tend to unconsciously make and generate realities from energies we don't understand.
Correct. And with biases,
yeah, and so,
that change things so they don't even resemble what the actuality is.
And so that's like what's going on in our world is, you know, there's an opportunity for mind control to be applied to the collective minds by propagating fear and war and all kinds of unrestful triggering situations and keep us generating realities that are being chosen for us.
If we are unconscious, yes, that's what happens. I actually posted just a couple of days ago with all this you know, war talk going on around the globe and, you know, we're going after this country and that country and that country. You know, the delicacy of perception that's required to navigate people, you know, I mean, you look in your own relationships, to navigate people who even have goodwill toward each other but misperceive on the twist of a word. And there's a pretty good article, if you take a look or if you go to my Facebook page, I just posted it a day or two ago, around one of the greatest translation errors made in history. And there's a Japanese word, if I pronounce it correctly, mokusatsu. And the Allies presented to Japan an ultimatum. Here's what we want from you, or we are going to drop bombs on atomic bombs. We're going to use atomic weapons. And the word mokusatsu can be translated in one of two different ways. In one translation, basically is saying, we are going to take this, and my words may not be exact, but it's close enough. You go read the article to be precise about it. But one translation would be, we are taking your input under advisement and will get more information and get back to you. The other translation of the word is basically go to hell. Not that those words exactly, but kind of a, again, this may not be exactly correct, but more or less a callous disregard for what's been offered. And apparently, the way the word was used was, okay, we're going to take this under advisement. We need more information, but we're with you and we're heading in your direction. Roughly translated from my memory.
Uh-huh.
It's been a while since I've read that whole article. I just
reposted
it without actually reading the whole thing. But it was translated by the newspapers as callous disregard, and that word, as I understand it, is what caused the bombs to be dropped on Japan. I mean, you think about that. For the mistranslation of a word across two cultures, hundreds of thousands of people died, and a country has on its energetic record one of the most callous and greatest atrocities ever done.
Oh.
And right now, if we could get somebody playing the game with all this conflict going on, of someone who had a delicate, sensible sensibility about their minds, to be able to talk to people who appear to be enemies but could be working through things, we'd have a whole different world. And, you know, I think it's time for us to stand up as a people and say, you know, Americans are good people. Americans care for people. Americans care for each other. Yeah, there's some crazy stuff going on. But by and large, when there's a tragedy, nobody digs deeper into their pockets and sends money anywhere in the world, I don't think. Nobody does more of that than Americans. And I think that it would be really awesome if we had our representation in Washington having that gentle, generous, and caring a mindset, which at this point does not quite appear to be what's happening. And I think it would be a big upgrade if we could move to that. Because, frankly, you know, we're in the throes of what could be global tragedy if somebody with those sensibilities and sensitivities doesn't show up and take over the game. And, you know, if enough people focus on that, I think we can shift the energy around for those involved. And it's definitely time to be focusing in holding that space of active love to shift into. You know, let's create some conversations with people around the globe who are, you know, for whatever reasons in their war-making mode, and let's clean up the mess.
So, Michael, long before I ever met you, I learned one spiritual teaching that nothing happens without intention. And I know you say the greatest intentions are the road to hell and all that. So it seems that there's a lot of intelligence with CIA and such organizations that are always looking well into smart, intelligent things. And if there are words, there are actually words that can have opposite meaning themselves. They can have two definitions that are opposite to each other. I would think that our intelligence community would be well aware of that, and that possibly that word, those words, were deliberately misunderstood and set as a trap, even, to cause an event without being responsible for it. And I think more and more, along with what you say about our people needing to rise up and be sensible, you know, we have to use words that don't have double meanings. And we have to check our intentions of what we mean by our words. And I think that an aspect of warfare is to deliberately deceive. It's reptilian, actually, you know, in the animal kingdom. And so I think more responsibility needs to be looked into by how we have co-created horrific conflicts with callous disregard, thinking that we are innocent, you know, making it look like we're innocent and it's your fault when we did what we wanted to do.
And isn't that the case? Isn't that the case for most people in their relationships? Look what
you may
did
remember,
to me. I'm the innocent victim.
You may remember.
And it's there that we need to start cleaning it up.
Yes, in the intensive last summer that I attended the Laws of Living,
right.
I openly admitted that in my family background, there was arguing, and there was this phrase that came out that I learned as a behavior, and it was the goal was to come out smelling like a rose, which
yes.
would be this deception, this tactic of arguing and winning an argument and making it look like you're right when you're really wrong, making the other person
yes.
look like they're the ones that stink. So, I mean, if I was doing that most of my life as a learned behavior stored in my mind, set as a goal, I did set that as a goal, and I actively, I thought I needed to learn that as a tactic and a skill in life, and so I kept getting good at it. But I never really was satisfied because the outcome was nobody wanted to be with me. You know, that one. So
doesn't work very
so,
well.
Yeah, I might be able to debate pretty well and win, but what have I lost? So, anyway.
Yeah, dubious honor to win in that situation, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why
the word win would be in big quotes.
I have these brain cells in me that I'm cleaning up all the time, but that's why I'm able to see the deception that may have gone on just by a usage of words, an intentional use of a word that had a double meaning, including opposite meaning, that could easily be misunderstood, and that gave license to go forward with an action. So, anyway, I'm calling the universe on that, and I'm asking
yeah.
the question, why are there words that have opposite meanings? I mean, how often does that occur? Do you know anything about that?
Well, let's look at the words of Vladimir Lenin, who's probably responsible for more deaths on planet Earth in the last century than anybody. And in his writing, he said the way you destroy a culture is change the meaning of its words.
Oh,
yes,
the deception is
rampant, and that's what that's all about. If you look at, you go and buy yourself a law dictionary, go buy a copy of Black's Law Dictionary, and then sit down with a regular Merriam-Webster dictionary. And you'll find that the great bulk of the words have totally, completely different meanings than their common usage in English. I mean, just sit down with a law dictionary, look up the most common words. Look up the word person. You know, look up the word corporation. And then look in the Merriam-Webster's. They're so different. And, you know, that's why some of those things are done as code.
So
Yeshua
done.
Said 2,000 years ago, Yeshua, who understood how to code plead the law, said, here's how you guarantee accuracy in your mind. Here's the first order of business. It's what you must do. And not be tricked. Because if you do this, you'll be in tune with the energy, not just the words that are being used. And he said, first order of business, prime directive, maintain rachma, the filter over intentions that keeps your mind keyed to intentions that are tied into love. When you've got that, then intentions, the raw material of your goals, will be keyed to love. When the raw material of your goals is keyed to love, then your goals will be keyed to love and your perception will follow through. If that system breaks down, and like, whoever told us that anything that even resembled that, I mean, go find me anything that resembles that in the world. Actually, there's one little piece of information that alludes to it from the other side. We have a saying in our culture that goes, oh, he got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. What does that mean? That means his hostility filter set. No matter who he looks at, no matter what he looks at, his OODA brain cells are going to make this person look bad. And he's going to puke on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's about as close as our culture comes to honoring rachma and a filter system within the mind. And so when we understand from Yeshua's first century Aramaic words what he was really saying, he's saying, get your intentions correct. They're important. They're not where the power lie. There's the thing you've heard me pointing out before. There are people writing books about the power of intentions. Forget it. The road to hell is paved with good intentions because intentions have no power. But they are key in driving the perceptual system of the mind. Their content and the quality of their content is important, but they're just raw material. Then when you take the raw material and formulate it into a committed goal, then you have what drives the perceptual system, and that's where the power is. So that's the difference in those two ideas.
So a mind that is trained in studying Rachma first would have looked at all possible meanings of the communication received in response from the
Japan. The person who had Rachma set would have been attuned to the words and the mind of the person who perhaps was 8,000 miles away when they said Mokusatsu, and they'd have known, oh, great, they're looking. They're checking it out. I think we got a deal here.
Yeah,
they wouldn't have to go
stay
to
open. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the power of having that, you know, when you realize the Creator is embodied throughout the whole creation. The world of physics tells us that every molecule in the universe is in continuous communication with every other molecule in the universe. If we have Rachma set, then we are available to communication from every molecule in the universe and we'll be able to get accurately what's going on for them. If we're in hostility or fear, we will distort that.
So what we have to be watchful for and help to awaken others to is, you know, back to what you said Vladimir Lenin was saying about change the meaning of words. What's being done is, in order to control our minds and actually steal our life force energy by having us join and agree with the agenda. Anyway, words are introduced into our culture one way or another until they become common use and take on whatever meaning is being inferred by them as a layering over their original meaning.
Correct.
And someone who has their intentions set in love and uses original meaning in an effort to communicate is bulldozed over by what is the agenda to believe about those words. And love actually rise above that?
Well, here's how it happens. All of the above. If you listen to all 1,600 or 1,700 hours of these archives, you'll never hear Dr. Tim or Jeannie or myself or Rex or anybody else who's been on the show, Michelle, saying anything but here's how you do exactly that. Every word is dedicated to understanding that. And, you know, be careful when you ascribe the power to somebody or something out there that's out to get us, you know, because the bottom line is that when somebody doesn't want to be responsible, then they set up an energetic dynamic that invites somebody to come in and take over their lives. When we're willing to go back to really, truly being responsible, that dynamic will tend to drop away.
Yeah. Okay, so back to doing the work according to the true laws. I can do that in my life as often and as much as possible. And I can be committed to that.
That's the idea.
Then I'm still going to maybe see a lot of stuff going on, but then I just get to clean it out with regard to how it's seemingly affecting me. Clear my perception in every instance. And theoretically, according to what Yeshua was teaching, it's going to clear things up. When we do our work, things clear up on a large scale.
Precisely.
As well as our it's kind of like an infinite scale in both directions. So the point is, just clean up everything because because it's really necessary.
Yeah.
Do your work. And remember that the only way that you can see something in the world is you've got the brain cells for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
if you see manipulation, it's because you're a manipulator. You've got brain cells for manipulation. Now, that said, there are two perspectives from which you can see manipulation. One is, been there, done that, can hold a space of love for it, and, you know, fix the T-shirt that I wore out. The other is, I'm really peeved about this because look what they're doing. And that means that I've done the same thing and I have not yet worked through the energetic dynamics of it. But I can only see it because it's in me to see it. I've got the brain cells. I've either worked it through and can be a space of love for it, or I haven't, and therefore I'm not the space of love. And there's my next piece of work.
Yeah, but at least we're in real time, responsibly speaking. Like, here's where I see myself in the perceptual, you know, in the space I hold here and now. Here's where I see I'm still in some perception that needs clearing, and I haven't done that yet. And here's where I am in my willingness to go ahead and do that.
Right.
So, Michael, I have a request. I'm not proficient with Facebook yet, and I would love to have a link to that article you mentioned and that you just posted recently. And also, if I could get a link to the CIA article, I believe that would be a way to talk to people about learning that their mind has an opportunity to generate from actuality or with actuality rather than perception. And to
so
see how dangerous
Google,
our perceptions are. Yeah, okay.
If you put in CIA.gov space.
Okay.
The mind does not record reality.
Okay.
If you put those words in the search engine, I'm pretty sure you'll find that article.
Okay. When you said space, you meant just space, like normal
space,
not any splash
yeah,
or anything.
One space.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not giving you an exact address. I'm just giving you search terms to find it.
Okay. Search terms. Yeah. Thank you. Good. I could have thought of that, but thank you.
The mind does not record reality, and that will, I think, get you that article or that book. You can actually download the whole book on their study of perception. It's a freebie on their website. And then Mokusatsu, I'm sure you wouldn't have to spell it exactly, but M-O-K-U-S-T, Moku,
S-T-S-U.
Yeah, Mokusatsu, Atomic Bomb, Mistranslation. And I'm sure those terms would get you to that article.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, thank you.
Delighted.
In the CIA book, I guess now it's a study of perception, whole book, I presume, I'm guessing you read almost all of it or maybe all of it. And do you feel that they're truthful in...
I think they're being as truthful as they can, and there are big holes in their understanding. So they don't have a place, at least as I perceive what they've written, they don't have a place for being and bringing perception in from there. Their study is very locked into the physical, so-called physical senses. So I'd be careful about taking every word as gospel, but there's some good research and some good information there. Now, when they follow that sentence up, you know, where they say the mind does not record reality, but it generates it, and then they go on in the next couple of lines to talk about how, and it generates it out of what comes in through the five senses, which is totally and completely incorrect and inaccurate. But that's the limitation of their understanding. The mind does not record reality. The mind generates reality based on what comes in through the five senses and what is stimulated by that energy coming in through the five senses. Now you've got a much more accurate picture. So that's like one of the pieces that's missing there. is that it's not perception based on or constructed out of perceptual data coming in, but it's a mix of the perceptual data coming in, or pardon me, the sensory data coming in, and what's already stored in the mind.
Mm-hmm. And so, as Dr. Kim says often, it's making conclusions formed by inconclusive data. There's some sort of a quote like that.
There you go.
So in that sense, then it's misleading and a little bit dangerous in part of changing our words and our thinking. It's a little bit of control. If it's totally censoring out or leaving out the wholeness of our being.
Well, I wouldn't see that as, you know, I think you might be looking for conspiracies where no conspiracies exist there. I think that's just a deficiency in their understanding. I wouldn't see that as something they've gone, ooh, you know, my sinister, I'm going to twill my mustache while I deceive people with this. I don't get that. I think it's a pretty sincere effort that they put there.
Okay, well, that I'll look into that. But what I'm saying is, if there is an agenda to change our thinking by changing the meaning of our words, how would you deliver that? You've got to have all these pseudo-scientific reports and everything and half-truths and inconclusive data and conclusions formed by it. You've got to have, you know, something that you're putting out for people to buy into. How do you, they need a vehicle somehow. Okay.
I'm not sure where your question's going there. You lost.
Well, I'm just saying that even though there is a study and it seems to support our work, at least to some degree, we still have to beware that it's not the whole story. And I guess that's what you just said also. And I don't have to make a conspiracy out of it. But I did.
No. Not worth it.
I can stop that. I can stop that one.
Yeah, let it go.
Thank you.
Let it go. Yeah. You know, at every source of data that you get information from and develop your connection to your source and make sure that your final arbitration comes from your connection to your source, not me, Tim, the CIA, or anybody else. You know, that's what Yeshua says. You can deny me, but don't deny the one I came to connect you with. I come to connect you with the spirit of truth. That's where the final arbiter is. And that's what you want to ultimately be connected to. When you are, then you will know the truth of what's in front of you or what's on the other side of the globe. Won't matter.
Thank you. That is a huge...
If it's yours to know.
That's huge. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I called in with this.
Delighted. Good conversation. Thank you.
I'm ready. I'm blessed by it. I'm so relieved. And thank you. And there may be other callers or Dr. Jim or somebody. Thank you so much, Michael.
All right, young lady. You have a blessed one. Lots of love.
All right. Okay. Lots of love to you, too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Any thoughts on that whole conversation, Tim? We're down to a few minutes.
Well, when it first came up and Julie goes down that direction, my first impulse was to say, let me just ask, Julie, if we had the answer to that question, the absolute God-based answer to that question, what concrete difference would it make in your life? And to see if I could figure out where she was going. But she eventually got to it. And where she's going is that she's in fear, and she keeps making conspiracy theories up, and that's just, you know, I think it led to a good series of questions and answers, and lots of things can be unpacked for people listening. So
and you know just because one is paranoid doesn't mean somebody isn't following them too, you know.
yeah they may very well be out to get me, and even though they are, I don't have to live my life in paranoia. So
yeah, let's just invite them to the party.
There was just one thing happening in the chat room somebody asked about, and it made me wonder if it was intended for a different audience, but somebody asked about a Twitter campaign regarding the president started by Rachel Maddow and Stephen Colbert. So I just responded that I haven't heard anything about that. And she said that
okay,
she was just checking on a text that came from Jeannie. So
I am privy to that piece of information. And apparently those two personalities, TV personalities, have underway a campaign to try to, I guess, uproot some of what's going on in the political world and set it right, at least according to their perception. And so,
well, it doesn't come
up
on
information.
It doesn't come up on a Google search naming those two people in Twitter. So if there's any information you wanted to put out there, it's not going to be readily accessible just by going to Google.
Yeah, I don't have any more on it. And the person who had originally sent it to me, you know, when I became aware of it, had said that it had been delayed and wasn't happening. And so I don't know where it's at or if it's at, but it came from a question about what do we do about the insanity, and, you know, aside from all of the above. And that was the response that was just, well, here's what a couple of people out there are doing. Might look into it and see if it's either support or not support.
All right. Well,
cool.
Nobody else has a hand up, and you've got 3.5 minutes or so left.
Well, then we've got time for a conversation if somebody wants to put a hand up.
All right. Somebody just did. So area code 270, you're in the air.
Yes. I was wondering, I totally agree with what you're talking about, and I have seen it for myself. The thing is when you ask for something that is, let's say, actively hiding from you, the thing is how do you, now everybody's got issues, so how do you shut the door so that, and clear, and how do you, number one, how do you find it? How do you shut the door so that none of those energies can become active or grow without, like, under your nose without you realizing it? And like I've heard, like, you can pray, oh, get all of the seeds of the kingdom of darkness out of you or whatever. But the thing is if it's something, you need to actually deal with it. So how do you see it? How do you deal with it, and how do you shut the door so it doesn't, I mean, it's really over?
Okay. So quickly, because that's about a two-hour discussion probably very easily. It seems so we're down to about 2 minutes. I'll just offer a couple of thoughts. One,
how about the right question?
I would jump on
how about the right question?
I jump on whyagain.org. The first words on the page say start here. I'd click that link, and that will take you into the first century Aramaic forgiveness process. I'd start looking at the worksheet there and the instructions on how to utilize that worksheet. And as far as shutting the door, you really don't want to shut the door. What you want to do, you go back to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, he said, I've opened the door wide and nobody can close it. You want to open the door to the truth of your being, flooding into your body, your mind, your emotions, your world, your family, and your life, and living out of that. When you're doing that, there's no other door you need to be concerned about, because darkness cannot enter the space where there is full active light. And so that would be
so
first order business.
Pray for
and if there's any
Holy
part
Spirit,
of one,
please, Holy Spirit.
There you go. Activate that. And if there's any darkness in you, then that darkness will show up, and that's where you use the forgiveness process to remove any resonance with darkness. There's just, you know, it can't express or stick to you unless there's a resonant energy, and forgiveness is how to remove those resonant energies and leave yourself clean. So, you know, I've said to many people over the years, I would love to get an invitation to go into, where there's such a character as Satan, to go into Satan's den and teach forgiveness. I would be delighted to go in and do that. If anybody can get me an invitation, I'll be there tomorrow. In the meantime, we're down to just the last few seconds. We can carry on the conversation tomorrow if that's appropriate. Have the best year yet of your eternal life.
You've done a wonderful job.
An awesome gift to give the world. Hey, we're having fun. Blessings. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, as we present the Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.